You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You are listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast brought to you by Birmingham Live.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name's Ashley Priest. I'm the Aston Villa correspondent for Birmingham Live. And today I'm joined by Alex Dickin, our Wolves man. How are you, Alex?
Good, thanks, Ash. You?
Yeah, derby day tomorrow. A nice early one, which is great. 12 o'clock kickoff. Both sides have something to prove off the back of two defeats. And Wolves was quite a heavy one last week as well, wasn't it? So where are Wolves at, Alex?
Yeah, so I mean, that was obviously kind of the theme of Wolves' season last week. They've been very, very inconsistent. They've had two of those games now where they've been, you know, completely whitewashed. West Ham back in September as well. So we don't really know what to expect a lot of the time with Wolves. They had a little bit of a consistent patch where they won three or four against teams you'd probably expect them to beat. But all in all, it has been inconsistent. And one week they can be very good, you know, and the next week they can be fairly average, really. So we're just hoping they can find a little bit of consistency so they can kind of get back to where they should be, which is in this Premier League table. If you look at the teams, they should probably be kind of at least seventh and aiming to get in that top six, as they've just missed out in the last two seasons. But team news obviously hasn't helped in the last game, especially because Raúl Jiménez was missing. Obviously, everyone is well aware of what happened there. The good news is that he was back at Wolves training ground this week, and now they are actually talking about him potentially making a full recovery and returning to football, which obviously is great news for everyone who saw that. The only other bit of team news really is that Johnny Otto's out. He's been out all season. Again, he returned to the training ground for light jogging yesterday. So it's one of them really. Wolves will be probably as they were in the second half against Arsenal and against Liverpool last week. Probably a couple of changes in that I think they'll actually go with a striker this week with Fabio Silva starting, but the rest of the team probably won't look that much different, I imagine. I guess Villa, without 2 weeks without a game now. It was a tough one, wasn't it? Actually, last time out of Villa, losing 2-1 at West Ham in a game they actually dominated, I thought.
Yeah, I think the frustration has crept back in. Like, no game last week, and Villa champion at the bit to put that right, really. They played well down at West Ham, especially second half, and dominated them, like you say, but come away with nothing again. Similar to Wolves, really, Villa's form this season. They've won five and lost four. So, luckily, they had a pretty an impressive start, didn't they? Whacking Liverpool the way they did, beating Arsenal. Yeah, this weekend, they're without Ross Barkley once more. So, what would Dean Smith do at Molineux? That's the biggest question Villa fans have at the moment regarding the team. Down at West Ham, he played Conor Hourihan, didn't he? And someone's got to give on Saturday, given the form. And Jack Grealish should be at the heart of that.
From a Wolves point of view, actually, just touching on Barkley there, I think that's kind of a huge blow for Villa. He is a player that I suppose Wolves would really fear. Looking at it now, it looks like Villa would potentially in midfield line up similar to what they had to last season against Wolves with John McGinn, who, to be fair, he's obviously fully fit now and firing as he wasn't in the last game. But a midfield of McGinn, potentially Douglas Luiz has been fantastic, but also Hourihan or maybe Nakamba. I think that's a much better proposition for Wolves than a midfield with Barkley, because he's a player I really rate, and I think he's made a huge difference the way Villa have played, and I think he himself can lift them, you know, two or three places at the table this season to mid table rather than, you know, looking over their shoulder a little bit.
Will it be Moutinho, Neves and Dendonka again, you feel, in midfield?
It's a weird one because Wolves obviously play with a 3-4-3 this season. They've played the last couple of games with four at the back. I think most Wolves fans are hoping they'll stick with four at the back for a while now, because it does obviously make them more attacking and more entertaining, which has been an issue in the past. So if it's a four-man defence, I think it'll probably be 4-2-3-1 with Moutinho and Dendonka. Neves always seems to start seasons quite slowly. He did last season, then he kind of came into his own around November and was Wolves' best player at the end of the season. But he's not really played that well at the start of this season, so I think it'll be Moutinho and Dendonka. Again, you've got Moutinho, who's probably played quite well taking out the Liverpool game the last three weeks or so. and then Donk has been the best midfielder this season. So that'll be the pairing there, I think. And then obviously ahead of that, you've got the three of Adama, Daniel Pedence and Pedro Neto, who've been fantastic this season. And then it'll potentially be Fabio Silva up top. He's the only striker Wolves have got now with him and Azat injured. So it's this. He's 18 years old, £35 million. There's massive pressure on him to start kind of repaying that and fill in for him and as well. He's not available.
Did the front line look good last week against Liverpool, or is that a big concern for you?
The most worrying thing was that Wolves actually still kind of created good moments, good opportunities against Liverpool. They got into good positions down the wings with Neto and Adamu. To be fair, for me, are probably the two most kind of exciting natural wide players in the Premier League because they are just natural wingers. Great crosses going into the box, but just no one was there. They didn't play with a striker. So Daniel Pedence, the false nine, who's picking up kind of those little positions in pockets for cutbacks, but it just wasn't coming that way. It was just floated high crosses coming in and no one was there. So Silva's got to be the man that kind of steps up and plays that position for the next, you know, the next month or whatever, at least until Wolves get to January and can kind of reassess it. But there's huge pressure on him. He's not played much first team football in his career, really. So it was a bit of a kick in the teeth for him to not play last week against Liverpool. So I'm hoping that he gets that chance against Wolves, because he did quite well against Arsenal when he came on, to be honest. He actually looked good. So I was surprised he was left out, but there's pressure on him. But there's also probably more pressure on the likes of Adama, Neto and Pedence to actually take the game to Villa, which they should be able to. But I think Villa look good going forward, from my opinion. But I definitely think there's holes there to exploit for Wolves, especially down the wings. We've seen Adama against Matt Target twice now, and he absolutely ripped him to shreds in the game at Molineux last season. That's a huge area for Wolves to explore. But again, something that I'm sure Villa are going to be aware of. I'm sure there's going to be some kind of tactic put in from Dean Smith to nullify that with someone potentially coming across. I know when they played at Molineux last year, Nakamba tended to shift across and cover Target. He didn't work that much that day, but I'm sure there's going to be something. But that's the big battle from a Wolves point of view, I think. If Adama can have the sort of game he had last year, I think Wolves could get the win.
I asked Dean about Adama yesterday, regards to Target and the problems he's caused. His Target's come off twice against him in the last two meetings, and just said it was circumstance, really. And the last one, he pulled with a hamstring early on during a busy period. But yeah, going to nullify that threat. Like you said, I think Villa will double up on Adama. I think they'll have to. And Target has struggled against him in the past, but definitely that's a problem Villa will have to look at. How big a boots are they to fill for Silva? I mean, Villa have got that same problem with Watkins and their reliance on him. And Silva didn't start at Anfield, did he? So will he start?
I think he'll start this time, because it was so kind of pointless at Anfield. They were getting into good positions and there was no one in there to finish it. So I think he's got to start. Okay. But they're impossible boots to fill. I think if you take Raul Jimenez out of pretty much any lineup in around Europe, it's going to struggle. There's probably not many natural complete centre forwards that are better than him. I can think of maybe four or five around Europe. He's been that good for Wolves. His goal record's phenomenal. I think his goal contribution's like 48 in 115 games for Wolves. Just ridiculous levels, really. So replacing him is not really an option. They're not going to be able to replace him in terms of the next month or whatever. So Fabio Silva's just got to adapt and step in. Whether he can, score a few goals to make up the loss, we don't know yet. But he's got to kind of, I think playing him is a better option than not playing him, because Wolves haven't got that much goals from elsewhere. It is a big issue. It's the one we always feared, really, with Wolves, whether they're going to be able to, if Jimenez was out for any length of time, it was going to be a massive issue. And obviously they're facing that, because it's a reality now that he's going to be out for at least, a few weeks, a month, a couple of months, whatever. So they're facing that reality.
One player who Wolves will have to keep an eye on is Jack Grealish, and who will be tasked with that for Wolves, and can they stop him, and what have you made of him this season?
Yeah, I've been really impressed, not just watching for Villa, but watching England as well. I think in those three games, the last three internationals, he was the best player, and has kind of made himself a shoo-in for the squad for next summer's Euros, I think. So if he plays off the left, which he has done for Villa this season, it'll be a straight battle with Nelson Semedo. So I think Nelson Semedo's probably had a bit of unfair criticism from a Wolves point of view. He's almost been made a scapegoat at times when things haven't gone well. I don't think he was very good at Liverpool, but again, he wasn't the worst defender that night either. So it's a case of him kind of settling into this Wolves team, really. He put in a few decent performances before that. So I think he's got all the attributes to do well against Grealish. You know, he's in my opinion, a better defender than people give him credit for. So I think, again, you know, similarly to what we spoke about earlier with Villa having a player to kind of shift over from midfield and help target, I think Leander Ndonka will shift over and help Semedo, especially cutting those avenues off when Grealish tries to drift inside from the left, which he does so well. I think the goal against West Ham, when he just kind of drifted in and slotted one into the smashed one into the corner. So that's a thing I think Nuno will want to do. We'll push Ndonka across and cut off that Grealish's ability to drift inside from the left.
Talk to me about the rivalry between the two sides. I mean, amongst supporters, the two teams as well. Wolves in Europe last season, and Villa very much envious of them. So
yeah,
it was a weird with you and the Wolves fans. How do they view Villa?
It was a weird one, wasn't it? I think last year, because you know, there was loads of kind of talk. I think before the Carabao Cup game, wasn't it, the 2-1? There was loads of talk from both sets of fans saying, "Oh, this isn't a rivalry." But I do actually, I don't think it's necessarily a rivalry, because I think both clubs have got a bigger rival, Villa Birmingham and Wolves Albion. But it's definitely a derby. I don't think we can get away from that. It's, you know, there's what, 5-6 miles between the two clubs. It's definitely a derby. I think that there are bigger rivalries for both clubs, but still, when clubs are so close, I think it's been magnified in the last few years. When you think back to the Championship games, you know, the Steve Bruce thing, I think it's definitely been magnified. But I don't think it's a massive rivalry. But I think it's a big derby when you think about how close the clubs are to each other. It's a derby for me, probably not a massive rivalry.
I think it's just the jealousy factor. I mean, Wolves have been flying in Europe and flying the flag for the West Midlands. And end of the day, when it comes to a derby or just any game, no one likes losing, do they? And that's the key to it, really. Villa have had to look up at Wolves in the last couple of years and see them doing well. And Villa fans like myself have been thinking, why aren't Villa there, man? Why aren't we doing that? And we should be aiming to do that.
Villa, for so long in this region, have been the biggest club. So I think for the last few years when Wolves have been ahead of them, the whole mind the gap thing, I think, as you know, been fun for Wolves fans, but obviously Villa fans probably haven't enjoyed being taken the mick out of so much. So yeah. I think that's kind of created it all, and it's almost blown up weirdly. But and again, I don't see West Brom really staying in the Premier League for that long. So again, I think this rivalry will probably, you know, carry on over the next few years with both clubs the only representatives from this region, the Premier League.
Combined 11 we've got here. Between the two sides. So, I mean, can you make a dream Villa Wolves 11? How many Wolves players have you got? How many Villa players you got?
A good one to start. One player from you a Wolves player that you would love to have in the Villa team. Who would you go for?
I'm going to go one we used to have, Adama, because I think that right side is crying out for someone like Adama. Like, it's crazy. I think we had him back in 2015, 2016, and he made only 12 appearances, mainly off the bench, and that was him done. So such an exciting talent, and it changed the way it ended, really. And Wolves are benefiting from that, through some good management from Nuno. And yeah, I mean, he's getting in product now to his game, and a key player for Wolves, though. So I throw it back straight at you. Who do you have from Villa?
Well, I think the obvious one's Grealish, isn't it? I think he'd definitely get in pretty much any team around Europe at the moment. And I think he'd add something to the Wolves team, even though they are quite stacked in those areas behind the striker. But the one player I would actually pick out instead would be Ezri Konsa. I'm just always massively impressed whenever I watch him. I think he's a fantastic defender. He's only so young as well, what, 22 now, I think. So he's got so much potential. And I always kind of, whenever I watch Villa, I always think he's the kind of standout in that pairing of him and Mings. And I actually think he's got a genuine chance of getting into the England squad ahead of the Euros, because we are weak in that position as a nation. We haven't got great centre backs, and I think he's got the potential to go on and be a very good one. And from a Wolves point of view, I think he's, as he did for Villa last season at times, I think playing on the right side of a back three, I think he's perfect, because he's got, you know, he's great on the ball for starters. He can bring it out. He's also very good in the air, strong. Also very fast for a centre back, so I think he's perfect for that role on the right side of a back three, which, you know, Wolves have played until recently. I think he'd have been perfect for that. Combined 11s. Just quickly look at mine. I think goalkeeper, we both agreed, weren't we?
Yes, incredible goalkeeper.
Yeah, Emi Martinez could be a top signing for Villa as well. But obviously, based on experience and what he's done over the last few years, I think Patricio is a standout. And for me, one of the top goalkeepers in the Premier League. And obviously on the world stage with Portugal as well. I've gone 4-2-3-1. I'll go through my defence quickly. Nelson Semedo at right back, Ezri Konsa, Willy Bolly at centre back, and Marcel at left back. Semedo over Cash, I think it's a tight one. I've gone for Semedo purely based on name and reputation. I think Cash has probably had a better start to the season than Semedo, but Semedo is, you know, potentially world class. So I don't think many will argue with that. Konsa and Bolly, the two best centre backs out of each, natural centre backs out of each club for me. And left back's a really tough one because I don't think either club has really got a standout left back at the moment. You know, if Johnny Otto was fit, he'd be the guaranteed pick, but he hasn't played this season, so we couldn't select him. So yeah, I've gone with Marcel because I think he just edges target. I don't think either team particularly blessed with natural left backs at the moment.
What about Neil Taylor? more defence. I've gone with Konsa right hand side. I've gone for Cody in the middle because obviously that's his best position, isn't it? Sweeping, pinging balls left, right, and centre, and Mings on the left hand side. So much balance there. I've got two Villa lads either side of Cody. So just for balance for me, I think that would work wonders. And an all England trio, you know. Moving on to midfield, Al, what you got?
I've got a two man midfield of Dendonka and Douglas Luiz, purely because I think those two midfielders have been the best in their position for each club. Dendonka's been the best of Wolves three this season, and Douglas Luiz, again, like Konsa, whenever I watch Villa, he's a player that massively impresses me. I've read that there's a buyback clause for Man City there, so
yeah.
I think they'd be absolutely mental to not take it up. I know Villa fans won't like me saying that, but I think
Man City would be
crazy not to take that up. I think he's an excellent player and he'll definitely go right to the top of the game because he's another one who's so young as well. Great on the ball, great positional play and awareness. And he just looks a really, really solid player and makes those players in front of him, your McGinns, your Barclays and your Grealish, just play much better. So he's a fantastic player and gets in alongside Dendonka.
Yeah, he's getting rave reviews in Brazil as well. Fully fledged Brazilian international now, so... Just special players who play for Brazil, so he's one of them. So, fingers crossed, Villa keep hold of him because I can't stress his importance enough.
Definitely, you gone for a three or a two in midfield?
So I've gone for four really. I've got Adama right wing back, then I've got Douglas Luiz. I've gone for Matinho, the old Wily Fox, classy operator, and Pedro Neto filling in left wing back. I don't know how he'd feel about that, but. I've been impressed with Neto this season. I was last season, to be fair.
That's a very attacking lineup. Those two wing backs really attacking. Adama, yeah, we've spoken about him. Pedro Neto has been class, to be fair, this season. Probably been Wolves' best player. Started to kind of get into the team towards the end of last season, and I think his emergence is one of the reasons behind their decision to let Jose go to Liverpool back in September. Neto he's moved to the left wing. In recent weeks, and it just looks such a natural position for him, flying down the wing and whipping crosses in, getting to the byline. He's got a great left foot on him as well. He's a fantastic player, and at 20 years old, he's, you know, for me, the best young talent in the Premier League. I would go as far as to say that, and I think he'll go on to have an incredible career because he looks such a massive talent.
What about your strike force then? What you got front
up? So I've gone with a four. A 4-2-3-1. So I've got the three behind the striker, Adama on the right, Grealish in the middle, and Neto on the left. And then I've got Jimenez as the striker. The three behind the striker, I think, pretty much pick themselves, apart from maybe Daniel Pedence. But again, it'd be Pedence or Grealish, and Grealish has been fantastic this season and walks into most teams. So I've gone with him. And then up front, Jimenez picks himself. I actually like Ollie Watkins of Villa. He's doing really well. I didn't think he'd do this well, given, you know, coming up from the Championship. But he's done fantastically, and he's unlucky to miss out. But you know, he's missing out to one of the best number nines in the Premier League in Raul Jimenez. So I don't think he'll have any complaints there. Have you gone for something similar?
Yes, I've gone for a front three. Yeah, I've gone for Daniel Pedence. He's impressed me. He's another one that's improved. He came in last season, didn't he? And didn't really hit the ground running as much, but with Jota going to Liverpool, he stepped into his shoes and done really well. So I've got him on the right, Raul Jimenez, number nine, and then Grealish off the left, because I think that's Grealish's best position. So when he plays centrally, I think he gets caught up in the middle too much. By that, I mean dropping too deep, looking to get involved a bit too much. Whereas on the left, he stays high and gives the fullback something to think about, and he can stay in attacking position, and that's what he's been doing. And Villa players have looked for that quick ball up to Grealish as quickly as possible, and he's been doing the damage. So, yeah, I have reservations playing Grealish centrally simply because he's like a kid in a sweet shop and wants to be involved in it all. So keep him on the left for me. And I think, yeah, that's my front three with Pedence.
He's an interesting one because he's, you know, he didn't play really at all last season. When players join Wolves, they always have to have this period of adaptation really to Nuno's methods and style and whatever. And he didn't play at all after the restart. And then he started a game against Everton, I think 5 or 6 games in, and was, you know, man of the match, fantastic. And then he almost kept his place then. Until he got suspended for the Europa League quarterfinal, which was a big blow at the time. But he started in the team this season. He started every game apart from the defeat at West Ham when he was injured. And yeah, he's one of the main players for Wolves now. He's different because obviously he's so small, plays in pockets, low centre of gravity, very fast over the first 10 yards. Quite strong, really, given his size and physicality. But yeah, he's a really good player. Great spotting a pass. Spots though, Wolves haven't really had a player like him who can play in those number 10 pockets previously under Nuno. So he's been a massive player in terms of changing the way they play and making them more attractive. And I think he'll definitely start, probably play as a number 10 off Fabio Silva. Or if Nuno does stick with the 4-3-3 formation or goes to a 3-4-3, then he could potentially play as a false nine again. But I don't really want to see that because I think he's better when he's got someone in front of him to work with rather than being kind of that focal point, which doesn't suit his game at all.
I think Douglas Luiz could have a job on Pedence because, like you say, Pedence dropping in that 10. Douglas Luiz has always had them strikers who tend to drop deep, so that could be a little battle there, Pedence and Douglas Luiz. So Definitely.
I've actually got to go to a press conference soon, so I think we need to wrap this up. But predictions quickly, Ash, what are you going for?
We're 2-1 away win, and Grealish and Watkins. We were both there last year, weren't we? And it's a shame the supporters aren't there this year because it was red up, weren't it, Molyneux? Remember it Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was quality. I remember that. Actually, it's one of my favourite games from last season. The atmosphere was fantastic.
Incredible.
It is a shame that we are stuck in Tier 3 and that fans won't be allowed. I've gone 2-0, 2-0 Wolves.
Nice and easy.
I was thinking that Wolves would go back to basics and play on the counter-attack and let Villa have the ball, which I think suits Villa as well because Villa like to play with the ball. So I think that's the way it'll pan out. Villa will have more of the ball, but I think Wolves will hit them on the counter. And I'm going to go for Fabio Silva and Pedence to get the goals.
Right, and we'll wrap it up there. Roll on tomorrow then, 12 o'clock kickoff. And yeah, we'll have all the player ratings and all the fallout and this, that and the other. So thanks for joining and we'll wrap it up there and enjoy the match tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please let us know. We love hearing your feedback. We'll be back soon with another episode. Until then, up the Villa!